Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
We read before the prayer in the Gospel of Luke, the 16th chapter, and we're looking at seven steps that will get us to the next level. And this came, as I've shared with you, as a result of me praying and just asking God for these steps that I was going to share at a staffed development session a few years ago, and just felt like I needed to bring this same message to the congregation. And so we come now to the fifth step, which is going to be accountability. And I want to look at Luke 16 because this is a perfect picture of stewardship and accountability. And church, I'm telling you, I was talking to Landon after the first service this morning. I was like, man, I don't want to single out one of these steps and say this is the one, but I can say this. You can get all six other steps that we're going to talk about down, but if you don't get this one down, there's no way you can go to the next level, because there's a spiritual principle that God has established since the very beginning that requires accountability in all of our lives. And if you get a hold of this point, I'm not exaggerating. I mean, with everything in me, I just pray that by the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, I can convince you today that this is a truth, that if you can apply the principles we're going to be studying in the Word today to your life, it will liberate you from fear. It will liberate you from anxiety. You will no longer worry about your future. There is going to be a peace that's going to come over your life, because you're going to give your life away to the one who owns it anyway. Look at it. I'm a poet and you didn't know it. And I didn't even premeditate that little rhyme right there. It just fell out of my lips by the Spirit of God. I want to talk about accountability today, and the key principle that's going to come out of this message and studying God's Word is stewardship. My prayer today is that every one of us today becomes stewards. Recognize that God owns everything, and whatever is in my life is what's been given to me to manage. And how well I manage what's in my life right now is going to determine where my life goes from here. Now, that's the point that Jesus is making here in Luke 16. So let's go back and look at it here in verse number 2, where he calls his steward, or he calls his manager in to give an account. Watch this, verse 2. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship. Read that part out loud. Give an account of thy stewardship. Give me an account. Be accountable to your stewardship. Another word for a steward would be a manager. Give account of how you've managed what I have given you. In this parable, Jesus is illustrating the reality that God owns everything. Now, you might be saying today, Pastor, that ain't, I just paid my car off. I own that. Before y'all understand that, it's beautiful. So, but in reality, we don't own anything. There's no Hershey's, being followed by U-Hauls. When we leave this earth, we don't take anything with us. And there's a freedom that I want to show you that comes when you look at your life, you look at your marriage, you look at your children, you look at your finances, you look at everything that you've been given and say, okay, the Lord owns all of this. I am the manager. My children belong to God. It's my job to manage them. Hallelujah. My life belongs to the Lord. I am simply the manager of it. When you take on that mindset, then you start going to the true owner of everything that's in your life, and you ask the true owner to give you the wisdom to be a better manager of what's in your life. And that concept, living by that conviction, will change the way you see your life, and it will set you up to honor a spiritual principle that says, if I'm not faithful where I am, God cannot take me to the next level. That's what we're about to see here in Luke 16. So watch this. He says, give an account, verse 2, of thy stewardship. Read the next statement. for thou mayest be no longer steward. He's saying, give me an account of how you've managed what I gave you. Otherwise, you're not going to be my manager anymore. I'm not going to let you manage my stuff anymore. This principle is as old as time. Because when God created man and he placed man in the earth, Genesis 1:26 says he gave man dominion. He put Adam in the garden and he gave man dominion. Man was called to manage what God had created. Man became a manager of God's resources. This is a spiritual principle that is as old as time. All of us are managers of what actually belongs to God. Now, there's several revelations that are going to come out of this that are life-changing, and we're going to just kind of unfold each one at a time. So here he says, give an account of your stewardship, otherwise you may no longer be my manager or my steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. Let's read it out loud together, that part right there. Ready? Read. For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. He's like, man, I'm in trouble. My Lord is going to take away the stewardship from me. Now, we use that word Lord, right? We say that Jesus is the Lord of our life. How many of you today confess that Jesus is the Lord of your life? Can you say amen? Amen. Jesus is Lord. We say, man, I made Jesus Lord of my life some years ago. Jesus, you are Lord. Listen, when you say that Jesus is Lord of your life, I need you to understand what that word Lord literally means. The word Lord is defined as supreme authority, master, controller, and owner. One more time. When you look at the word Lord, it is literally translated supreme authority. It is translated master, controller, or owner. If you've ever rented a house, you paid the rent to the landlord, because the landlord was the landowner. They were the house owner. So you paid your rent to the one that actually owned it, and you were just the manager. The word Lord means owner. Notice here that the steward, when he was a poor steward, a bad steward, when he was called to give an account to the real owner, he said this in verse 3, what shall I do for my Lord? Or that could be translated, for my owner taketh away from me the stewardship. He said, I cannot dig to beg. I am ashamed. He said, I'm going to be resorting to begging. Why? Because he's not going to have any oversight of anything anymore. He's losing his management. He has nothing to manage. Therefore, as a beggar, he must go to someone that has something to manage and say, hey, will you give me some of what you have? I have nothing to manage because I was not accountable. I was a poor steward. Now, let me just say this up front, because I want you to be motivated to pay attention to what we're going to see in the Word today. There's a liberty that's going to come when you get this conviction. Because if you're like me, you have thoughts about the future. You have thoughts about your children and your finances and the well-being of your life moving forward. There's a liberty when you recognize that God is in complete control of my destiny, that God is in complete control of my life, and he can shift resources around any way he so chooses. All I got to do is be found faithful right where I am and be accountable to my Lord right where I am. And if I am found faithful, he can bring those resources that are needed into my life. Now, you might say, Pastor, why would God do that? Why would he not? If the Lord owns everything, and I believe that he does, I believe that God is the authority of all things, that he is the creator of heaven and earth, and there is nothing in the earth that he does not have complete control of. I'm going to show that to you here in a moment in the scriptures. And therefore, he can move and manage resources any way he wants to. if God was going to have somebody overlooking the resources, why not somebody saved, spirit-filled, spirit-led, spirit-sensitive that would use those resources to advance the kingdom of God? Can you say amen to that? Amen. So in this parable, Jesus said the steward recognized he was going to lose and resort to begging because he had been a poor manager. And so he goes to those whom his Lord was doing business with, and he worked some deals and gained himself some favor, and the Lord would end up commending him for how he managed that situation. But watch verse 10. Here's the spiritual principle that will liberate your life. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Let's read that verse out loud together. Ready? Read. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. So he's saying here, if you can't pass the test of being faithful when it's little, I can't trust you with big. That means if you've seen anybody that has much in their life, they had to have been faithful when there was little. It is a spiritual principle. Don't let the enemy lie to you that you will be faithful when you have more and therefore justify your unfaithfulness where you are. There is a spiritual principle in the Word of God, in God's kingdom, that if you cannot show faithfulness and be accountable where you are, God will not take you to the next level. That means of all these things that we're studying in the Word of God about how to advance in God's kingdom and go to the next level in our lives for His glory, if you're not accountable to God where you are, there's no way you can go any further. It's like the brakes are on if I'm not going to be a faithful to God. Not only are they on, we end up regressing. Are y'all seeing what I'm saying to you? Make a decision right now that I am not going to be anxious about my future. I am going to focus on what I have in my life right now. What has God placed in my life right now? Because that is what I answer for. God will never call you to answer for what you don't have. He will always have you to give account for what you do have. Satan wants you to focus on what you don't have. God wants you to focus on what you do have. When the 5,000 were out there with Jesus and it was getting late, and the disciples said, Lord, it's getting late, and they've not had any food to eat, and we don't have enough money to go buy enough food, and even if we did, the journey is too far. They were focusing on Walmart's too far away. We don't have enough money. It's too late in the day. Jesus looked back at his disciples, and he said, what do you have? See, Satan wants you to focus on what you don't have because you can't manage what you don't have, but God always directs your attention back to what you do have. He said, what do you have? They said, all we got is a young boy here that happens to have 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. But what is that among so many? Jesus said, bring me what you do have, because if you will manage what you do have right, I can multiply what you have. Come on, somebody. They brought those 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread to Jesus. Jesus stretched them toward heaven and blessed them, gave God the praise and blessed it, and said, now distribute. And there was a miraculous provision made because of the way what they had was managed. See, you will waste your life looking at what you don't have, looking at what you can't afford, looking at what things seem to be unreachable. You will waste day after day after day and never progress and never succeed and never grow when God is saying, quit looking at what you don't have. Look at what you do have. Use what you have for my glory, and I will advance you. Just show yourself faithful right where you are. That's all God's asking for. I can't be called to give an account of managing something that was never put under my stewardship. Are y'all seeing what I'm saying to you? Focus on where you are. Be faithful where you are and watch what God will do. Don't try to sell that lie. When I make more money, I'm going to start honoring God. When I make more money, I'm gonna be a better husband. When I make more money, I'm gonna be a better daddy. No. You better get all that right where you are. Because if you're not faithful over little, God will not make you rule over much. It is a spiritual principle. See, we love to look at people who have a lot. What are they doing all that? They don't need all that. Well, tell the Lord that. The Lord's in control of all of this stuff that we get so caught up in. And you ought not get caught up in what anybody else has. Just say, man, look at what my daddy gave them. Mm-hmm. Put your bookmark here in Luke 16 because we're coming back. And I want you to turn back to Luke 6. And as you turn back to Luke 6, I want to ask you a question once again. Is Jesus Lord of your life? If he is, can you say amen?
Amen.
Just think, amens went out over 50 countries all across the earth right now. Just amen, amen. Jesus is Lord of my life. Can you confess that? Jesus is Lord of my life. Listen, don't let Jesus be Lord of your religion. Jesus is too big to be the Lord of a religion. And don't let Jesus just be Lord of your Sunday morning. He's too big to just have Sunday morning. And don't let Jesus just be Lord when you're only in the Word. Let Jesus be Lord of everything that you say and everything that you do. See, we've had a religious view of Lord and not a true biblical view of the word Lord. Because when you say Jesus is the Lord of my life, you're saying that he is the owner of my life. See, when you claim his blood and you speak of his blood and what his blood did for you and me at Calvary, let me just tell you what his blood did for you and me at Calvary. We were lost. We had sinned. We were separated from God. You may not agree, so let me make it personal. I was in sin. I was separated from God. And the debt of my sin to God was death. That's what I owed God. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. I owed God death. That's the only thing I could have gave him to pay off my sin. Not church going, not tithe paying, not good doing. No, I owed him death. The wages of sin is death. If I was to pay my sin debt, I had to die. But then I heard that a man named Emmanuel, God with us, came into this earth. His name was Jesus, Yeshua, God saved. He lived a sinless, spotless life. And then as an innocent man, died for my sins at Calvary. His blood was spilt and shed and dropped to this earth. And God accepted his blood sacrifice as the payment for my life. His life was given to pay my debt. That means I've been bought. I've been bought with a price. What was the price? The price was the blood of Jesus. Some of you have said, man, pastor, it's over for me because I sold my soul to the devil. No, you did not. The devil could not afford you. He did not have the blood. He did not have the righteousness. He did not have the sinlessness to pay for you. There's only one who God will accept as payment for your life, and his name is Jesus. So when you accept what his blood did for you at Calvary, it's not a matter of, oh, I've been washed so I can go on and live life the way I want to. No, you've been more than washed. You have been bought. And if you have been bought, you don't belong to you no more. You belong to the one that died to pay for you. So when you say, Jesus, be Lord of my life, you're saying, Jesus, take me, redeem me, pay for me. Let me belong to you. The word Lord means owner. He's owner of my Monday. I say he's owner of my Tuesday. He's owner when it rains. He's owner when the sun shines. He's owner when I'm unemployed. He's owner when I get a pay raise. He's owner when I'm sick. He's owner when I'm healthy. He's owner when my wife is loving me. He's owner when my wife is acting crazy. He is owner of my life all the time. He's owner when I'm in Shreveport. He's owner when I'm in Colorado. He's owner if I'm on a bus. He's owner if I'm on an airplane. He's owner if I'm hitching a ride. He's owner if I'm living in a tent. He's owner if I'm living behind a gate. He's owner of my life. He's owner on a good day. He's owner on a bad day. Y'all getting excited? Say it out loud. He is my owner. Now sit down and look at this scripture. Woo! I hope you're still shouting when we read this. Luke 6:46. Y'all shouting and stirred up. See, there's freedom in that. There's freedom that I don't belong to me. I belong to the Lord. Everything in my life belongs to Him. I'm just the manager. I'm the manager. Lord, how would you have me manage this? So watch what he says in Luke 6:46. Watch Luke 6:46. Read it with me. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Oh, Lord. I got to do what you say, Jesus. Then you say, you see, y'all were up on your feet a minute ago when I said he's the owner. Some of y'all jumped up and, man, you did a beautiful, beautiful praise. Yes. I mean, I wanted to film that in slow motion. Time lapse. I mean, it's beautiful. Jesus said, why call ye me Lord? Let me translate. Why do you call me supreme authority? Why do you call me master? Why do you call me controller? Listen to this. Why do you call me owner, but you don't do what I say? You say it, I'm Lord, but you don't live it. Because you've taken ownership of your life. You don't acknowledge me in all your ways. You don't ask me for wisdom. I put things in your life and you don't even acknowledge that I put it there. You acting like everything belongs to you. And then you go to church on Sunday and say, Jesus, Lord. And he said, well, I wasn't Lord yesterday. See, there's freedom when you say, okay, Lord, everything in my life you put there for me to manage. And based on how I manage it is going to determine where I go from here. Now, go back over where you got that bookmark in Luke 16. Are y'all getting anything out of this? We're going to get fired up here in a minute, man. I ain't kidding you. We got something to look at here in a minute that's going to, it's going to make you do something. I don't know what that might be. Now, Luke 16, watch this. Keep your bookmark in Luke 16 because I'm going to turn to some other places too. Keep your bookmark right there. All right, watch this and verse number 11. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, that's money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Wait a minute. I thought money was riches. Jesus said, no, money's not riches. Money is money, and true riches are something else. I believe that the true riches is Christ. It's the anointing of Christ. It is the blessing of Christ. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and adds no sorrow. So if you looked at riches, wealth, money, and you looked at the power to be wealthy, which one's greater, having the money or the power to get it? It's like having fish or the ability to fish. Which one would you want? Fish or the ability to fish? If you take the fish, when you eat the fish and there's no other fish, then you are fishless. If you know how to fish, then now you can eat as many fish as you want to eat. God is saying, are you going to live for the resources, or are you going to live for the source of the resources?
Thank you for tuning into Word of God Ministries podcast. To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.